Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Solid Performance Solutions. Chris McCabe here today with Keith Hartnett of Better World Products. Keith is our neighbor to the north right now up in Quebec, Canada. How are you?
Oh, good, thanks. How are you?
Oh, doing okay. Talking with a lot of people lately, agency owners and otherwise, about what people need to do now to prep. Obviously, August is a good prep month for Q4. I don't know, do you actually encounter people that miss these deadlines, that miss these key dates or inventory or otherwise?
Definitely. Huh? If they haven't already made their POs to get their production set up to be here in 2 or 3 months, then they're going to be really tight coming into the October deadline to get in before Black Friday, Cyber Monday. And so we work with all our clients basically the week after Prime Day to make sure that we know exactly what they need. So we'll do all the forecasting for them so that they know year over year so far, those first 6 months plus Prime Day, which gives you that kind of tentpole data. And then we just say, okay, how does that look going into Q4? What do you need on a SKU by SKU basis? And we'll give them that and they can run their production.
Sweet. What are the key dates that you hit with people just to make sure they're on track before you move on to the more advanced discussion around Q4 strategy?
Yeah. Well, so we don't have a lot of control over their manufacturing process, obviously. So we want to make sure they're placing orders and getting inventory coming in before the end of July. And that way we know or can be confident that it's coming in by around September at the latest, end of September. Mm-hmm. We want that first big shipment going in middle of September. So something that's going to carry them through most of everything, get it in before everyone else is getting it in, and have a follow-up shipment going in before the deadline, just so you can break it up a bit in case there's a delay on one of them.
Okay, got it. And do you ever encounter, this year seems like it's different than all prior years for a lot of reasons, but do you ever encounter resistance to, at least, you know, if costs are going up for some people, that they might be trying to ship less inventory than they did last year, or tariffs intervening, anything about costs?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we monitor the margins and net profit for all brands. So we give them a P&L. And that's kind of our KPI above all KPIs that we look at. And what we'll see now is with the Prime Day performance being less than we expected, certainly year over year, you know, it was good on a month over month basis, of course. But the tariff scare might have consumers a little skittish. There's still some layoffs going on in the tech sector, which is going to be big spenders. And they're looking at these numbers and saying, you know, do we really want to ship in? Do we want to take that bet? We do have, it looks like fees won't really be going up, Q4 related fees, which is nice. So we can have some leeway there, but it's really going to be a balance between preventing stock out and making sure you're not charged way too much on fees during the Q4 and left with too much inventory.
Being overly optimistic, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. Right? I mean, we definitely have clients who have very ambitious sales goals that they want to pair with very ambitious margin goals. And we usually have to talk them down quite a bit, unless they're doing a lot of off Amazon stuff. And in which case, you know, they can do what they want, so better project that. But as far as on Amazon is concerned, it looks like year over year growth isn't going to be like spectacular the way we were seeing the past few years.
And I think people during Prime Day, the tariffs from China, at least, were still in the no-fly zone period. Now they're still uncertain, going to be back. So I don't know if people are gun shy, but it's also making people more doubling down on Q4 to make up for whatever they haven't sold this year so far. And then, you know, with what we do, anyone we encounter, which is a lot of people that come to us that we don't work with every month or every week, if they had an ASIN takedown and it took a few extra weeks to get it back up, right, then they've lost the revenue from that ASIN takedown too. So like then they get even more desperate around Q4.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, what we'll go through as well this month and, you know, halfway through next month is we want to make sure we've done the bulk of listing updates. So looking at the data, that we have from the first 6 months, saying which ones worked, which ones don't, are there any seasonal updates we need to make, running all the A-B test experiments that we can to make sure not only that we can improve the performance right before Q4, but if anything gets flagged, we have time to repair it, you know, maybe give you a call and have you fix the issue if needed.
Yeah, well, and it's sometimes they eventually fix stuff, but it's like the lag. It takes so long that it's not that it couldn't be eventually fixed. It's just how much revenue did you lose while you were trying to fix it, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't think brands can really afford those revenue losses unless it's truly one ASIN. It's not a big impact on account health. And if it's not mountains of revenue, I mean, I can see why people, of course, try to troubleshoot it themselves instead of having us do it. But if it's an ASIN that's got some decent return on it, also it's the cost of the distraction if you're spending a lot of time.
Yeah.
Performance policy teams, whatever. I mean, that's a lot of follow-up and a lot of back and forth. So.
Yeah. I mean, that's why we would have a deadline of, say, definitely before October. You got to be happy with all your listing changes by then, because otherwise everyone's too busy to help you.
Yeah. Are you worried about the sort of mystery AI tools and bots that Amazon periodically rolls out?
Yeah, it's interesting.
You can't always see those coming.
No, and you can't always see them. It's funny because we have processes in place to catch these listing change updates that supposedly they're telling us about. But then we keep finding that like titles keep changing and we didn't see any updates on that. We're trying to figure out, you know, we use Sellerize so we can track the alerts on title changes and stuff like this, which helps a lot because then we can see, okay, that wasn't us, or we can see, oh, we actually, there was no title update. We just didn't realize something that we want to change now before Q4 starts. Other than that, you know, all of the optimizations, getting everything Rufus ready, making sure you've answered those questions, running your images through recognition to make sure Amazon can read them. Those are all things that you should be doing.
Yeah. What other kinds of conversations are you having with people? I'm assuming you're not onboarding a ton of clients right now to jump into their Q4 process. I mean, this seems like an odd time of year to be making major agency changes, but maybe you are onboarding new people right now because they didn't do it right last year.
Yeah. So it's funny the way it works. It's usually either right before or right after big events when numbers are disappointing that these decisions get made and people switch. So we are actually onboarding clients now. And it's difficult to have some of those conversations where they may not be as prepared or there might not be enough time to really get through all the work you want to do. And you have to figure out what you want to prioritize before Q4, where is your biggest bang for your buck going to go, both based on your supply chain and your inventory, based on your margins. And just, you know, we need time as well to really learn the brand, get a feel for what the margins are in the products. The API, we can't pull in a lot of historical data, so we have to kind of guess at that on the ad side.
What other things do you think you come across that in our appeal suspension bubble we might not see and might not hear about from brands that we talk to? What are the other like key one or two things to remember?
Related to suspension appeals or not?
No, related to prep for avoiding problems in Q4 is kind of the theme of a lot of the interviews I'm doing lately. And it's a mixture of what we do and what you do, but there are things you do and you see and you hear about that I probably don't talk about all day long.
Yeah. So the big one is going to be your ads management process and making sure that you're really getting the structure in place, that you're cleaning up anything that you couldn't clean up before in terms of campaigns, that you're really taking a look at the data, launching all the campaigns you need to be launched, because once Q4 comes, your time is going to be spent managing the spend that you have, not trying to figure out where to spend it. So you want to have your systems in place to manage your budgets quickly, stop things that are getting out of control. There's always going to be some things. Make sure you have processes in place to catch those early, and making sure you have processes in place to catch opportunity. There's always going to be things that take off you weren't expecting. You've got to manage the cost of that, of course. But, you know, have everything set up well ahead of time. Certainly the same deadlines, really, going in October, you should be ready to roll.
Yeah. Hopefully they are.
Yeah. It's often they're not. unfortunately.
I think the, like, especially looking ahead to next year, the brands that are chronically unprepared, I mean, I think competition's just going to edge them out gradually or quickly. So I'm wondering if anyone out there is just kind of building an SOP or writing a book on prep that brands are going to read, because it's like there's much less margin for error. I see it in the appeals process, of course. You see it elsewhere, where you see it, ad spend mistakes cost you a lot of money. Where we see it, obviously, appeals that keep getting rejected cost you money because you're not selling. So I'm kind of just seeing how next year, not even Q4, but even next year is just going to be a make or break year for getting it together and doing it right the first time. You know?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's kind of the conversation every year.
But now it's mandatory.
Yes, yes. Now you don't have easy Amazon time. You don't have COVID stimulus time. You just have hard everywhere.
Yeah. Well said. Well said. Any last thoughts for anyone listening in today from the brilliant mind of Keith Hartnett that you can share?
Just be prepared. I mean, that's always the case. Take the time to be thorough. Do it well. Don't just try to check the boxes to say you did it. Double check your numbers and it will pay off.
Cool. Where can people get in touch with you if they want to be onboarded as quickly as possible for your expert guidance for 2025's Q4?
Yeah, you can go to betterworldproducts.org. There is a Get Help button right there, and that'll go either straight to me or my team.
Alrighty. Thanks for this conversation today. I'm sure I'll catch up with you again soon. Probably see you either in Canada or at Amazon Accelerate. Sounds like you're going to that.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'll see you at Accelerate and hope you make it up here to Montreal.
I will do my best. It's a 5-hour drive, so I think I can handle it.
It's a 1.5-hour flight.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm used to driving around Western states where 5 hours is nothing. So I think the 5-hour drive here would be, you can get all the way into another country when you leave Boston and drive north. It's great.
Yeah, so. Whole different language.
I know. All right. Thanks for joining us. Thanks, everyone, for listening in. You have any questions for Keith, you know where to find him. You know where to find me. We'll catch you next time.